All right, kia ora, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the New Zealand Spirit Podcast. My name is Franco Hickey, and it is such an honor to introduce to you someone I've known for just a couple of years now, and she is incredible, but she does not need no introduction. Her name is Rachel Hunter. Thank you so much for coming on board and talking to us today and being a part of New Zealand Spirit Festival.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been such a beautiful thing to get to know you a little bit over the last few years. I've come and sung some mantra in a workshop of yours in Bali. I think the first time we met, I finished with helping you with some OMS at the end of your workshop. And I think myself and so many people out there definitely know who you are, but know you in a few different lights, but maybe don't know the yoga sort of journey. If we could just like touch on how that came to be. I know your mum was very spiritual, and your mother had a lot to do with, doesn't it? All of our mothers have a lot to do with us. But I'd love to hear your story.
So, thank you for your introduction. I know it's so funny because we're, the perception of someone, even when you walk into a room, you can perceive or feel the energy. So, called the empath or empathically, you feel like you understand someone's story when really there's a whole other, much, we're this vessel full of all sorts of expressions, right? And so it's really since I was 16, up to this point, I have perception-wise, in a public way, lived a very kind of, in the modeling world, New York and all that kind of stuff. But as I'll take it right back to when I was a child, I was very, very much an introvert. I loved my bug catcher, typical Kiwi, like loved nature, was very, very quiet and very, very inward. And I also had the beautiful, I was so blessed with the mother that I had, or still have, so-called, but she was very, you would call a seeker. And I've learned to refine that word a little bit more as instead of seeking, because it tends to have this certain way about it, is to more to discover life, right? So she was very much into, pagan. We did, we were born again Christian, Mormon. So we had a lot of Buddhist. So I was brought up with a lot of different spiritualities and religions. It was, I guess, a blessing in one way, in one way. But it really set me off on that path. But as soon as I got to 16 and, I was on the beach and someone saw me on the beach and I became a model, I went off and went on that journey. And it's so funny, I look back and I can only share my experience because that's all I can can share from that truth element, is that the fact is I wouldn't change it for the world, because it's,
No.
that was an amazing expression of what I was to do in my life. And it was a choice and it just happened. I was a ballerina. I loved animals. I used to pick worms up on the way to school and put them on the ground so they wouldn't fry, because I hated seeing them die on the concrete. So it was this hugely sensitive child, but then I ended up in this, this big wide world. And still at that time, I had this, the ebbing and flowing of that spiritual world forever going through me, because, someone asked me in a workshop once, when did you become spiritual? And I think it's a beautiful question, but at the same time, I think we all are. And, there's no ego, there's no ignorance around this. It's just the different ways we all get to express ourselves and in this life, and the different choices that we make. So I was always, if what someone wants to say, like, how come you can, go and do this, and there's ego and all sorts of different capacities. And just after my mum, I nursed my mum through her passing through cancer, and I asked her the last 3 weeks of her life. I said, "Mum, what do you regret?" And she goes, because she was part of the psychic community and
Wow.
and all that kind of stuff. And she said, I regretfully being me. I was scared of being judged.
Wow.
I was scared of being, you know, that I think that you're weird, or I think that, you know, this person thinks. So that hit me pretty hard. And then I started, as soon as mum passed, because, you know, you have 2 weeks to express this, right? Not a lot of time. And so I never wanted to be in that situation. Cut a long story short, 6 months later, I went into India and basically went there to do asana practice, because I had this moment with India when I was doing Tour of Beauty. And I just never looked back, and basically was there for 9 months of the year over the last 4 years. The simplicity of coming home to self happened.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Can I just honor your mom for a minute? Like, that dose of wisdom is pretty much everything for any human to be able to hear that the one thing that your mother, you know, with not long to go in this physical form, her one thing was, I regret not just expressing myself, expressing who I really, really was, and holding back. Like, and we all relate to that. I think I can speak for all of humanity. There's a part of us that is conditioned, well, the environment conditions us, whether the environment be just other people, condition us to kind of be a little bit smaller than we are. And that hurts over time. That really gets heavy over the time, because when we're not who we are, we're having to kind of play a role.
Yeah.
And playing a role gets like exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting. And I really relate to you sort of bouncing, and it normally takes a tragedy of some sort to bounce ourselves out of the kind of asleep state to self-realize that, God, I'm just enough, you know, like, warts and all, I'm just enough. This is me. And if you want to come hang out, hang out. And if you don't, that's okay too. And I love you. I love all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that wisdom from your mom, man, oh, that hit me hard just hearing it.
It's funny, because we look for very complex modalities, or we look for very complex reasoning to acknowledge our own spirit as such, you know, because I mean, spirituality, we're hearing these words obviously all the time now, which is great, but it's not separate, right? Like, it's as we all know, and as everybody here knows, because I understand I'm on a live Facebook page, which there is you know, an enormous amount of people who have been doing these modalities, but, you know, for their life, and who have been dedicated and born into, as we all are, we're all born into this expression of like having human and spirit merging together. And what a beautiful way to be able to express that. And the soul always just wants to be. It's the conditioning shell that just gets conditioned and layered and judged, and it's our own inner, you know, when the roar comes up, it's not really the roar, like the aggressive, it's when the roar settles and just there's this strong foundation that is able to express itself. And trust me, you get rocked off it all the time, right?
Oh, like, man, yeah.
Judge your class, or just this, or judge that. Like, wow. But I mean, it's beautiful learning, and people that come into our lives for different reasons are such great teachers. Like, everybody's that.
I was just hitting on that exact thing. Like, my relationship to pain has changed a lot in the last year. I used to look at pain, as most people probably do, as like a thing to stay away from, run the other way. If it's painful, don't do it, it's bad. But I'm realizing there's a whole bunch of pain that needs to be lent into, that stretches us, that kind of wakes us up, and we become stronger and more aware, and we grow from that pain. I mean, you're a mother of two, and childbirth, I'm sure part of that was painful, but the result.
That's the beauty of that. I don't remember.
Well,
it was so good.
Some people do. Oh yeah, okay. Bad example.
No, I'm kidding.
So like some people remember that and as painful, and then you end up with these two miracles that are beyond heaven, beyond what you would call heaven. So it's a proof in that everyday thing that happens with birth, that from pain comes miracles, you know, and the miracle is the pain too. Like, it's, you know, and, but yeah, bridging when you were talking about I get asked if when did you become spiritual, I get asked that a bit as well, and people talk about I'm a little bit spiritual now, and I'm like, yeah, you just always are. We just always are. Mm-hmm. Underneath all the conditioning is the isness, is the sort of juice that keeps it all flowing that you can't see. It's that air we breathe. It's the feeling, and it can't be quantified. It's the one thing that science has a hard time trying to understand, because it's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. and it's that thing that if it wasn't there, we're just a bag of bones.
Yeah, absolutely. And the spiritual side is also, like, I see performers, singers, they may not be like doing what we would consider spiritual, like burning sage or what someone's idea of spiritual is in a linear way. But they're performing, they're giving, they're exuding, energetic, and they're bowing to their audience at the end, giving like deep reverence and devotion. Yeah. And the exchange there is so beautiful. And to me, that has such a massive spiritual capacity to it. So right to someone who is carving instruments or carving or building or whatever it is, I think there's just that energetic exchange of that Dharma, that purpose, pulling through is pretty amazing. And when you see what people do when they love it, like a dancer, like it's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, you must have been so close to so many of those kind of like church mass spiritual moments with Rod Stewart, like those kind of like side of stage or wherever you were. You must have just gone, oh my God, like 50,000 people or whatever, whoever's out there, and my man is kind of like literally singing, like God's coming through him, spirit's coming through him, and the masses are singing back, and what was that like? Because to be the crowd is one thing, but to be with someone that generates that kind of energy on a world level, like, I don't even know what the question is, but what's that like to be around?
It was what it was. Like, I didn't really go into any story of it. It was just where I was. Yeah. But it's beautiful to see, that when people are fully expressing their Dharma, their purpose in their life, in whatever capacity that is, it's pretty amazing to watch. Like, you become enamored by watching. I'm not just singers, I'm talking about anything, that their intimate relationship with that is just so beautiful,
Yeah. And so what is your like superpower at the moment? Like, I love calling it superpowers, because like we're teachers, all of us are teachers in the world, and you're teaching, what's on top for you to teach at the moment that is helping yourself unlock yourself and helping others unlock themselves? What is your thing that you're loving to, that's on top and working for you and flow at the moment?
I am very, very drawn to almost like that sacred, that inner sacred self, because that ability to become aware of even that elemental factor of what we have, like our the earth, like even the elements and their qualities and what they are within us. And also to be, sometimes we go to, say, a church, or we go to an energetic spot. We are these energetic spots, and to feed this and to be in this is just such an incredible vehicle to be in. And like I said, our soul is just wanting to express through this amazing vehicle that we are. And I said, I feel like, just to infuse that and just to really come into that space of just really settling, I would say, settling the nervous system, being like sacred with self, really entwining and weaving and creating that magic that's within us as as ourselves. And then obviously that abundantly goes outward because we're happy with this. And the simplicity of this for me is even simple breath work, even simple, the ability, we don't have to do complex stuff to get to that place. Breath work, I love pranayama, you know, mantra, obviously, you know, I really love just that ability to just have that moment of stillness and being at complete reverence and devotion to self, really. Then again, like I said, if there is that, it just can be expressed so fully out there, and there is no jealousy or judgment because we're just, you know, we're full and we're energetic. Yeah. We don't have to go somewhere to get that energy, you know?
It almost seems like what we're doing as humans in I guess everyday city kind of life, society, is the complex part of our life already. That we're already doing the complex modalities to simplify by sitting still, by focusing on our breath, breathing a little deeper maybe than we normally would, singing, allowing our bodies to just stretch and be quiet, being quiet, not talking. It seems like those are the simple things for me that I've observed and for myself and other people that are really working. And as you say, that it's simple. The complex stuff is like what we're already doing by sitting in traffic to a job that we may not love and, you know, doing instead of being humans being.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're just, and to really connect with people saying you're enough and you're perfect the way you are, you know, and whatever journey you're going in, it's you're enough and you're perfect. And even when you bring that into the, I think there kind of becomes this relief. But yeah, I would say just the simplicity of just connection with the breath and slowing down the nervous system. And obviously meditation is one of the main foundations, I would say, to really calm that. But you know, hearing meditation can sometimes be very irritating, you know. Yeah. Like, have you meditated yet? It's just like,
it's like, it reminds me of my own rebellion against my own practice, like all the time, and it's just exactly what I should be doing. It's exactly what I should be doing, and I know I should be doing it. And I rebel against it. Like, my mother would be like, as if my mother's asking me to do something when I was a teenager, I would rebel against myself like that. Yeah. You know, and why do we get in our way like that? Why?
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Why do we? But like, there's not been one meditation, one yoga practice, one singing of mantra that hasn't left me feeling 100 times better than I did going into it.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I know some people don't have that experience, but it works for me.
And I get it, just finding that way and that modality. And this is what's so great about, you know, the festival. Obviously, there's so many different modalities. There's so many different teachers that teach a different way. There's not one person that's the one-off cure for, you know, it's just, you know, the greatness of having, you know, someone like Bruce Lipton here this weekend is just huge. You know, he's one of the first books that I read during my training when I trained in India, and you know, it changed everything. But I mean, just seeing the modalities in the different ways and that entry point for everyone is just amazing. It's just it's amazing.
I know, and that's why this was birthed. You know, coming up with the idea for a festival that could have a buffet, I call it a buffet of modalities, where people can just gravitate towards where they need to be. So we at New Zealand Spirit Festival this Thursday, until Sunday, we have 6 workshop zones that are about 200 people each, and with 6 presenters teaching at the same time, and over 4 days, 150 workshops. And you don't even need to look at from an experienced festival goer over here, you don't even need to look at a schedule. You just walk around and just roll in to let spirit guide you, and you always end up at the right place. And it might be uncomfortable. And I invite always people to sit in that uncomfortable piece, because when we're comfortable, we're not growing much. when we're uncomfortable, there's something there. And I used to run away from uncomfortable. And now I sit in it and just be like, I got to be here. I got to stay. And then the lessons come. And I'm like, I'm always so thankful for going through the discomfort.
Yeah. Mm. The uncomfortable moments are just, they're the most exciting times. They're absolutely petrifying. And you feel like, you know, you're a teenager or a 2-year-old, but when you're confronted with this and it's just becoming the frustration or anger or whatever it is, it's just like, it just feels like, you know, you've reached a point where you're just going to hit a wall, and then all of a sudden it's like the phoenix comes out. And I think that's why I love teaching to the elements, because there's that fact of like, you know, earth, it's very grounding, it's very real, you know, we are, you know, here. And then you go up to the water, the fluidity, the sensuality, the creativity, the, you know, ebbing, the flowing, the moon, the emotions. And then you go into the fire, which is the transformation. I mean, you take these through the chakras, you're transmuting, and you're either, you know, transmuting or transforming straight up into air, which is in the heart, which is, you know, all that touch and feel of the skin when someone touches you or blows on your neck or anything. So there's that bliss state. And then of course space, which just creates this beautiful moment of what we all need. We all need that space. So I think going through that, it's almost our, I always call it our inner ecosystem, you know, really allowing that to be in its utmost. And with a festival like this, you get to feed all those qualities during this, you know, during this time, and with it weaving and entwining the whole time. So it's beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. And the space we try to create here is, I mean, it's alcohol free, drug free, waste free. So people go waste free, you know, but we ask people to bring their own cutlery to this festival. So people, it's cool, wild. Right? It's wild. Yeah. Kebabs.
Just bring your fingers.
You know, and if you bring any waste, you take it home with you. So radical responsibility for yourself is what we're trying to teach. And if everyone on the earth was responsible, really, really responsible for themselves and looking after this planet and their own bodies, we would have no waste problems, at least, you know, and there'd be a lot less sort of breakdowns in communication. And breakdowns in communications are what starts wars, literally, you know, big ones and small ones. So, we really invite everyone to come down to NZ Spirit Festival this week. It's going to be so, so beautiful and probably the last big gathering of the festival season. And Rachel, we've got you opening the workshop zone with your... because you're perfect.
I feel really...
Remember, you're just enough.
We might be what we'll probably do is just some simple, beautiful breath practice, and then probably a Q&A is probably what is going to happen. But definitely a really beautiful breath practice or something, chakra meditation or something like that.
Yeah, and it's gonna
really set me up.
It's going to flow so good straight after the Porphyry and welcoming, you know, all these thousands of people here. I'm just buzzing to have you. Here, and I'm so grateful to have you doing so many things with you. Because we're going to be doing a retreat together as well, so that's going to be coming up in probably under 2 weeks. Is that under 2 weeks? And it's going online today. So we're going to be doing a beautiful retreat together at a place that's about to be called Woodhouse Mountain Lodge, which is about half an hour from Auckland CBD. I think there is about 20-25 spaces, and you can find the link probably on this rerun of the Facebook live that we're doing right now, and on our pages in the coming days. So if you'd like to come on retreat and maybe do a little less than you're doing right now and soak into some stillness and some just good juju and learning how to settle the nervous system, how to be okay with yourself and with what is, basically, you know, really simplifying your life. Do you want to add anything to what they could be?
You're really good at that. I'm just really not very good at doing anything like that. I just didn't want to
I'll
go.
I'll do that. I'll do this. Cool. No, I'm happy to talk about this retreat. The space that you create, Rachel, is so fantastic. I just thank you for standing up as already a really well known person in the world and following your mum's kaupapa of being yourself unapologetically. Just this is what's next. This is what's on top. You know. So thank you for the courage of being able to do that, because it's not very mainstream to talk about this kind of stuff.
It's a shame too. Just on that note, I find, you know, in all the ancient cultures in the world, it's part of the way, you know, there is an expression. And so for us to, it's like coming into owning that. And I think it's really, really important. But you go into some of the most ancient cultures, it's fully there. There's nothing weird about this, you know?
No.
Very, very,
mainstream. Like, it's mainstream for them.
You know, like, you know, the Havana, like all of these are just so beautiful. And I do a lot of those rituals. Not obviously in some of the workshops that I do, because that's a certain demographic. So I do that. And one of the areas I love is that side, you know, all the chakra, the rituals, the fire ceremonies, all this. But I think it's just looking at those cultures. It's just a way of life. And it's what's so within, and having that that culture, that inner wealth, and that the healing that goes on is just incredible. So
it is.
It's beautiful and amazing. Thank you so much for all that you do with the festival and all these incredible singers and healers and breath work and, you know, just all the teachers you bring together. Thank you.
I can't wait. Well, I better get back to setting this thing up, because I've got about 150 volunteers outside that are probably waiting outside the door with questions. Thank you again, and we can't wait to have you here on Thursday at 5 p.m. as your workshop. So if you haven't got tickets yet, out there, guys, get your tickets now, and we'll see you for the last festival of the season. Thank you, Rachel Hunter. You're amazing. Thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of days. We'll see you tomorrow. Yay.
Bye.